Welcome to the Life After 50 show. I'm Catherine Watson and I'm your host today. I'm hoping to be joined by someone who owns a couple of residential care homes. She has had a challenge with one of her families, is having some needs that she needs to take care of. And as the business owner and a nurse in the facility, obviously families come first, right? So hopefully Diane will be able to join us shortly. But for now, we'll go ahead and get started with the program because I know a lot about this subject as well. I've been in the elder care industry since 2012, and I have created a list called the Care Home List that I regularly publish on my website to help people find residential care homes. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about why residential care homes make sense, especially with the current pandemic. So very important topic. I know everybody out there that has a loved one that either needs care now or maybe they're receiving care somewhere. It's a big concern to you. What to do about mom if she needs more care, or if we need to move her, or if she's already in a facility and maybe we're not happy with what's going on. We're going to try to answer some of these questions. And again, I hope that Diane can join us. If there are any professionals in the audience, please make comments below. Add to the conversation. I'll bring your comments up on the screen and we can talk about them. So do let me know what you're thinking. If you have any questions or comments, I'm happy to try and answer them. So this show is sponsored by Find Houston Senior Care, a local web directory for the greater Houston area to help you find the resources and services that you need. So we specialize in three categories: the care home list with the residential care homes throughout the greater Houston area. And we do visit each home prior to adding them to the list. Not everybody makes the list, okay? So you can be assured of that. That said, you still need to do your own due diligence, as always. If you're finding care for a loved one, don't rely on what I say or what anybody else says. I don't care if it's your doctor, your nurse, you have to do your own due diligence as well. Use their recommendations, but do your own research. Okay. That little disclaimer done. We also specialize in home care agencies. So I, again, have a top 20 home care agency list. It's not full yet because I'm taking my time getting only the quality home care companies on that list. If you think you should be on that list, if you're listening to this, reach out to me. You can go online. You can fill out an application and then I'll review it and give you a call. We also have, and I see Diane coming in, so I'm going to bring her up in just a minute. I'm going to let her get her camera stabilized there, and we're going to bring her onto the screen in just a moment. The third area that Find Houston Senior Care has is the top 20 professional list, and we have a lot of organizations listed there where you can get their information, websites, and all of that. We have professionals like senior move managers and elder law attorneys and other professionals that are on that list. So, without further ado, we're ready to talk about why residential care homes make sense, particularly with the current pandemic. And I'm going to bring Diane. Whoops. Yep. Okay. I'm going to bring Diane up. Hopefully. There we go. Hello, Miss Diane. How are you?
Good morning, Catherine. Nice to see you this morning.
It's been a challenging morning, I understand. I was telling everybody your first job is to take care of the families. And that's what you were doing this morning.
And, absolutely.
So, you know, we just, the show goes on and we just bring you in when we got, but you're here right on time. Perfect timing. We're just getting ready to start talking about this topic. If I could get you to just stabilize your camera, if you're.
I know, I'm trying to find the right. I have the end of going on my phone. We lost power.
Okay.
On top of everything else, so I'm trying to get everything situated. Is that okay?
Yeah. Do you have it stable against something so that you don't have to touch it and it doesn't wobble?
I so apologize.
That's okay. We're all good. Usually we're able to take care of these things before the program starts, but every day is different and you have to be prepared for changes, right? We're all going through a lot of changes right now and we're all adapting and you're perfect now. Great.
Great. Okay, great.
Okay, so Diane, let's start off by, if you would, just tell us a little bit about who you are, what your background is, and what you do.
My name is Diane Nicolette Sayas, and I'm the owner of Estia Care and Lakeshore Personal Care Homes. I am also a nurse of 40 years, semi-retired, but not truly. Once a nurse, always a nurse. I am in the business and doing what I'm doing, because as being a nurse, I was also the DON of a large facility. I was also the nurse case manager for DDD Homes in Arizona, which is for mentally disabled adults. And I have been into almost, I can't even tell you how many, nursing homes, care homes, large facilities. I have been in so many, and I try to teach, you know, as I go along and to help, you know, everyone that I can. And I am doing this because I am the prevention of going into a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And in my belief, and it is my belief, that America should be ashamed of the way we take care of our seniors.
I agree.
So I can't save the world, but I sure can save some.
Yes. Yeah. And you do a wonderful job. Diane has been on the care home list at Find Houston Senior Care since the very beginning. I'm so proud and happy to have her homes on the list, because I know that if somebody goes there, they're going to be taken care of. And that is important to me, because my mother-in-law was also in a care home. And I want everybody to have the same experience that we had, where she got excellent care. And there are some good ones, and there's some that are not up to standards. But let's just talk first, Diana, if we will, about what is a residential care home. And these sometimes go by assisted living, small assisted living home, personal care home. They have several different names. So if you hear any of those names, we're talking about the same thing.
Yes.
But let's talk about what that is, how it's, just go ahead and tell us a little bit more about what that is.
Okay, well, they're all pretty much the same, okay? It's just that in other parts of the world, we are known as group homes. In the state of Texas, they refer to us as personal care homes. When you are licensed by the state, such as I am, they, even though we are a residential home, we are considered a assisted living facility. Okay, those who do not carry those names are not licensed. And by the state of the law, anything above 3 residents, okay, must be licensed by the state. Okay, but you can still have 3, consider yourself a personal care home, mm-hmm. but you are not licensed by the state.
Right. And you have to follow the same licensing rules. You have to jump through the same hoops that the large facilities do, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So why would somebody choose a small residential care home? What are some of the benefits that someone would have over living in a small residential care home as opposed to a larger assisted living or a nursing home?
Okay. Number one, such as we will say Estia Care, which is my first care home. We have an occupancy of 9. To where the large facilities, you can go anywhere from 50 to, you know, 250. Mm-hmm. So we are more one-on-one care. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the care that's provided is much better. Okay, because we are always there. They are never left in their little rooms. They are never left in a wheelchair. The only time they are in a wheelchair in my homes is when they're eating dinner, because they happen to sit better mm-hmm. in a wheelchair while they're eating dinner. Other than that, they all have their own personal little recliner, you know, and even if we want them to be as independent as they can be. Okay, and we're going to try to allow that to happen, but we're still going to be there. Mm-hmm. If they go to the restroom, if they are taking a shower, if they are able to do that themselves, wonderful. But we're still going to be there by their side as a standby assist.
Absolutely. Okay.
So that's one of the largest things. You're not just a room to us or a room number. You know, we love each and every resident. We are very, very close to all of our families, you know, and we stand beside them 100%.
Absolutely. Hold on a minute, Diane. We've got some people in the audience that are making some comments or asking some questions. Let's see, Elizabeth Jackson Harris says hello. She says, Clarissa Kerr is online. She's so right. Love it. Yes. So thank you for being on the show. Lightheart Memory Care down in the Clear Lake area says, so glad you'll be talking about this. Yes, it's an important topic. It's an important subject.
It truly is, because a lot of people don't even know that we exist.
You know, Diane, I'd say the majority of people do not know you exist, because I've gone out and spoken to groups of 200 or 300 people. And when I ask them how many know about residential care homes, personal care homes, small assisted living, they look at me like deer in the headlights. They have no clue what I'm talking about.
Even physicians.
No,
physicians,
exactly. They don't. And a lot of times, if they do, they have a vision that it's maybe not as good, when in fact the opposite is probably true. We chose a personal care home for my mother-in-law because she needed somebody to be there for her all the time. She couldn't be left alone. She had dementia and she had rheumatoid arthritis. In a large facility, she would have gotten lost. They would have forgotten about her. They don't have enough care.
Right, and that's a big one too, especially with our little, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia patients. In a large facility, it's just that they can become very lost.
Exactly.
And, you know, because if they're really large, you know, with 200 plus people, mm-hmm. they don't know where to go.
Yeah. It's very
in this environment, they can really pick back up on some of their memory. Mm-hmm. They know which room is their room. They know where the bathroom is. You know, so with it being in a smaller environment, they're able truly to be able to recognize things more, recognize staff more. And it actually helps with memory issues.
Well, they don't.
But I will say once, at least the doctors that I know, when the doctors and the nurses who did not know before and learn about us and I educate them about us, truly, they are very thrilled and really, truly support us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once they realize, once they see the care that's given, it's on another level. So where in a large facility, you sometimes have one caregiver to 8 or upwards, I've heard of 16 people sometimes on the weekend.
In a large facility.
And
I believe it's 42.
It's usually it's usually one to four or five at the most. So you've got
right now in my home
more care
because of COVID. I always staff in accordance to what our needs are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Unfortunately, we've had a couple of our loved ones pass away, not from COVID. We are COVID free. It was just their time. But right now we have one caregiver per resident. Plus we also have hospice coming in, mm-hmm. as well as home health. So we are beyond, beyond
of what great. They need all the love they can get. Right.
And they do. And they do, so I'm proud to be able to provide that.
Yeah. You're able to cater. I think in the smaller homes, one of the things I liked was they're able to cater a little bit more to the person's individual needs. They yes. don't have to go down to a big dining room at 9 a.m. for breakfast, because that's when we do it. And, if they're having had a rough night or something, it doesn't matter in a big facility. But in a smaller care home, they're able to adjust to those needs of that individual and what's going on with them each and every day. And I love that.
And we will, what we'll do, whatever is needed for that individual, but we still get everybody up every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't leave our people in bed. Okay. Right. Unless they are ill, or it is at that time that it is called for. Otherwise, everybody is bathed, cleaned up every day, brought to the kitchen table, and then transferred from their wheelchair from the kitchen table to the recliner.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, too, our staff's eyes are on them at all times. They're never left alone in their rooms. Right yeah. now, with COVID, it is breaking my heart.
And that's what I wanted to get to next was why would residential care homes make sense, particularly with the current pandemic that's going on with COVID?
Oh my gosh, it's killing me. I so happen to have a male resident who is a little bit further along and requires more assistance than his wife. But his wife has been in lockdown in their little apartment. I won't know the name of the facility, but it's a very large facility.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been in lockdown by her little self since all this began. It's been over 2 months now. And it sounds like they're pushing for three.
Oh.
And she called here just the other day and broke down and just cried.
Oh.
And I really tried to get that family to move her here.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really, truly, she's beyond what the needs are in a care home.
Mm-hmm.
But considering the circumstances, she would be so much better in my home than being stuck in a large facility.
Yeah.
Now, so we don't have to do that here. We are so small, and mm-hmm. we know for a fact that we are COVID free. Mm-hmm. We do not have to keep them locked in their rooms.
Right.
So like right now, the large guys, they're even just bringing trays to the room.
Yep.
Dropping them off at the door, walk mm-hmm. away. And then that resident is to go get them. Here, they are so
That's
able
heartbreaking.
To. It is. It really is.
And the residents are, especially if they have a little bit of dementia, if they have the beginning stages, it's very confusing. Very confusing. And
to be honest with you, with end-stage Alzheimer's, I don't even know how they're achieving that. Because that little person does not understand.
Yeah.
To where in this environment, they can still be all together. They can be out together. My staff, my husband and myself, we're picking up the pieces as much as we can. Like we had a big holiday, a Mother's Day celebration. We have two males that we even brought into the picture where each of them had two roses and mm-hmm. they each gave one of the ladies a rose on behalf of their sons and their daughter.
Aww. That's sweet. That's sweet.
And that was totally sweet. And the males just loved it.
Right.
It too brought them into that picture. For the first time, we ordered takeout.
How are you keeping the families connected? How are you keeping the families connected, Diane?
We are doing a video call, right? I'm sorry?
They're not able to come into your home, correct?
They are not.
Yeah.
Okay, at this point, we still are on lockdown, and per CDC guidelines, we are still only allowed essential persons, such as nurses, you know, and things of that nature, to enter the home. Mm-hmm. Of course, being temperatures taken, you know, they're wearing masks, mm-hmm. they're washing hands, wearing gloves, washing hands. For our families, I'm doing a lot of pictures, you know, during like Easter and Mother's Day that we just had. I'm sending that to individuals for the ones that got like the individual ones. But we are doing video calls for some. I have just started this past week to allow them to come. And I'm bringing our little person out to the doorway.
Great.
All right. If they are 6 feet away wearing a mask, I let them be 6 feet away. If they have no mask, I'm making them be no less than 12 feet away. For some, that's working, and for some, it's not.
Yeah.
Because, again, some doesn't understand
why they can't come and hug me.
Why their son can't hug them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so we're picking and choosing what works best for that resident and their family.
Yep. Exactly. I think this is just a challenging time for everybody, but it sounds like you're doing a great job. One of the things I want to point out that I think the reason for me that a residential care home would make sense over a large facility is there's less people coming and going. In your large facility, you have the cook staff, you have the business office staff, you have a lot of moving pieces that are, you know, essential people to that business, and they have to come and go, but there's too many people coming and going.
Like, unfortunately, I do believe that occupational therapy and physical therapy is very important, but I do not allow them to come in. They are not essential. So there again, we are picking up the pieces. You know, we are doing group exercises. We're doing individual exercises. You know, even doing the wheelchair walk up and down, you know, the hallway. We're doing everything we possibly can to pick up the pieces for PT and OT as well.
You're getting creative. Yes. Great. Great. Diane, we're getting close to the end, but I want to make sure we cover this one. If somebody out there has realized maybe they've been caring for someone at home and for whatever reasons they can't do it any longer, and they're looking for assisted living, what should they pay attention to and what questions should they be asking, especially with the current COVID-19 situation going on?
Okay. Number one is COVID. All right. And I personally am not allowing anybody to be brought to my home unless they are COVID tested. Okay. I will tell you, I don't care if it's a small facility, large facility, whatever. If they are not making sure that these residents are COVID tested, that's a huge red flag. And I would not do it. I just accepted somebody new from Kingwood Hospital. At first, Kingwood Hospital was not testing for COVID unless they showed signs and symptoms. I advocated, I pressed, you know, and I had that family press. And I even spoke to the physician and, you know, enlightened him, you know, on the dangers of doing this. If someone's going from one facility to another facility, they must be tested. I brought in the state. Today I will bring in JCO. And that's an absolute must. Or you could just be taking contamination to contamination to each facility.
Right. Exactly.
That's the biggest red flag. you should be doing assessments and evaluations. You know, is this person the right fit for your facility? Can your staff handle this particular resident? Because I look at everything, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a big circle. And if somebody is not taking those precautions and making sure that it's a fit, I would say that's a red flag.
I agree with you.
Looking at menus, mm-hmm. you know, looking at their menus, see what type of, you know, nutrition food that they have, you know, that they're serving. Like in particular, my menus truly cover everybody from diabetes to hypertension to your normal person. Yet it is delicious. They love it. They eat well. It all works, and I can get many people off insulin. So that's also really something to look at and to check out. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can notice how staff, even higher staff such as myself, how are we reacting to the other people in the house during that tour? Mm-hmm. You know, and such as ourselves. I mean, of course, we create a bond. And that may take a little bit, you know, but that's always our goal. And because we do very quickly end up loving, we love our residents. And that's a huge thing. Look for the hearts.
Yeah. And you can tell when you walk in, when somebody has a heart for this. It's just, it shows instantly. I think you can tell.
Absolutely. And that's the way I even do my hiring.
And the same, I was going to say the same with the caregivers. I always tell people, look for the smiles. And I'm talking about the caregiver smiles. Because if they're smiling, that tells you a lot about that community. If they're not smiling, that also tells you a lot. And I would be concerned. I want to be around a happy person, don't you?
Sure.
And I think my mom deserves to be around a happy person.
Absolutely. I mean, we all have our days. But when I am hiring, that's totally what I'm looking for is their heart. And I let them bring that on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll interview. I will, you know, just keep, you know, watching. Let them answer, you know, some of my questions. But I also want to hear that come from themselves.
Yes.
And if the heart's not there, you don't belong in this business.
You are exactly right.
Because I started out as a caregiver, mm-hmm. you know, for many years. And then I was a CNA for many years, you know, and then I went back and got my nursing license. You know, this is my destiny on earth. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt. But anybody who follows me has to meet my standards, which are pretty high.
Yeah. And should be, rightly so. Rightly so. Yeah. We've got a couple of comments here. Elizabeth Jackson Harris says personal care home should be the extension of the family environment. And that is so true.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And we are. From our very first admin back in 2011. She's our first lady. We call her our first lady. and she still comes to all of our parties. You know, she's still a part of the Steer Care family.
Wow.
And almost every single solitary one are still a part of the Steer Care family.
Yes. So Tina Johnson says, great information. And she also wants to know, where are you located? And great question. And we were getting ready to put up. Let's see. I think I've got the website to Steer Care, and I put a comma, but it should be .com. So that's astiacare.com, astiacare.com. And I'm spelling it out because this will be on a podcast at a later date. So,
if you have Facebook, I do have Facebook pages that are actually much more up to date, to be honest with you. And I also am the owner of Lakeshore Personal Care Homes. They are technically 5 minutes apart. So Estia Care is located in truly Atascocita, but the Humboldt area. And Lakeshore Personal Care Homes is technically Houston, but it's right on the borderline of Atascocita and Houston. So
Your Facebook page for Lakewood Personal Care Homes would be Lakewood Personal Care Homes.
Yeah, all you gotta just put in there is Lakeshore.
Oh, Lakeshore. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Let me get that out.
Lakeshore Personal Care Homes, and you can just put Houston and it'll come right up. Same with Athea Care. Just put Athea Care, actually Humble, and it's gonna come right up. And Athea Care, the Athea Care one's got a lot more that I've posted, to be honest. Okay. So there's all kinds of things from therapies to parties to all sorts of different things and information you'll find there.
So just reach out to Diane if you're in that area and you're looking for a great residential care home. She can possibly help you.
Because if I cannot place for you, I'm always going to help you.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so I will give you any contacts that I have. You know, I will lead you in the right direction. If you have any questions unanswered, I will be more than happy to answer those for you.
Absolutely. You can also go to the care home list found on findhoustonseniorcare.com. Just click on the care home list and find a list of residential care homes in the greater Houston area. Diane's homes are on that list and other homes in other areas of the city as well. So if you're down in Clear Lake or you're over in Southwest Houston and maybe Diana's a little bit too far for you, we understand, and there's some other homes that may be able to help you. Diane, thank you so much for being on the show today. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And I'm so sorry I was so rushed.
Not a worry. We have to take care of families first. Families first, and we understand that. So you did what you were supposed to do, what any family would be wanting you to do, right? So reach out to Diane and see if you can get the help you need. All right. Thanks, Diane. Have a great day, everybody. And we'll see you next week on the Life After 50 show. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.